Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for July 27th, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is a webcast and podcast where we dig deep into the clutter that stands between people and the lives they want to be living. We aim to make sense of where so much stuff comes from in the first place, and we offer strategies to slow down the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we choose to keep. We rely heavily on the questions and topic suggestions we get from you, our listeners and viewers.
If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let me know if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We are also streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll monitor that and relay them to Gail. And during the webcast every Tuesday, you can talk to us by phone by calling 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. We're going to start, as we usually do, by following up on last week's weekly tittle, which was called an unpacking challenge. The assignment varied depending on whether or not you're preparing for a move, have moved recently, or haven't moved in a long time. We encouraged those who are planning a move to start planning for the unpacking process. For everyone else, we suggested unpacking a box left over from a previous move or any unopened box about whose contents you're unsure. We want to hear from our participants in Zoom and Facebook. Did anybody unpack a box this week? Please let us know. Hot Mess Mom TV on YouTube commented, "Although I'm doing more packing than unpacking, I found the part of the broadcast repacking essentials super helpful. I added a detailed list on my productivity app of what to pack last and unpack first, toiletries, coffee pot, medications, etc., as well as a separate list of what to pack second to last and unpack second, clothes, dishes, shoes, etc. And just the act of getting that down into my app gave me a sense of greater peace about moving than I previously had."
Thanks for sharing that. See, just a little bit of planning for what would make your life easier on the unpacking side has helped you feel more prepared for the move. That's a great example of how planning the packing and the unpacking side of a move makes for a much better move experience. Good job for you. I'm glad it was helpful. And I also want to take this little pause moment to say thank you to Carol. Carol sent us a check in the mail and to show her appreciation for the Clutter Fairy Weekly. And she wrote a lovely letter to tell us about how the show has helped her, and we appreciate it so much. Many thanks to Carol for her generous donation to support the show. By the way, she's writing a book called The Hoarder's Widow, and we look forward to reading that book when it comes out. It sounds fascinating. She's writing all about her husband who has now passed away and all of the work that she's had to do to dig out his many, many densely packed collections in their home. And so I can't wait to read it. It'll be fascinating.
Lise commented that she went through her old jewelry box. So that's a little twist on, but we did say a box about whose contents yet. It counts. It counts. And you know, we always say anything counts. You know, if you are on the target, you know, I'm picturing a darts target, you know, the dartboard. Yeah. If you're on the board when you're doing the tittle, that's a win.
Right.
You don't have to hit the bullseye if you're on the dartboard.
Right.
And Barbara said, "I gave away enough books from my built-in bookcases that the remaining books fit in the freestanding bookcases because you can't take built-ins when you move."
No, you cannot. Good job. That's a good one.
And excellent. Marcy asked, "Does a box that I received from Amazon count?" And man, that's now we're really stretching.
But that's okay, because if you unpack the box and put the stuff away, we think that's a win, right? Because that is tomorrow's clutter if you leave it in the corner. So good job.
Well, and I'm not going to name names, but we know that Gail has clients who frequently have unopened Amazon boxes when Gail comes to help out.
Yeah, they're just, yeah, I spend my first hour opening packages and getting rid of packaging material. Yeah, that's a continuous process. Some of my clients, it's true.
Okay, let's get to our main topic. Okay. Vacation travel. Vacation travel means stuffing a week or two of your life into one weight-limited suitcase, or at best, into the cargo space of a car. Today, we're going to offer a few pointers for right-sizing your packing to get ready for stress-free vacation travel.
As Ed and I both get ready to head out on some much-needed R&R, it seemed like the perfect time to talk about getting ready to travel. Over the years, I've had many clients who profess great anxiety when getting ready for a trip, and I've heard many confessions about overpacking to the point of the ridiculous. So a few tips along with a plan for packing will hopefully help keep the anxiety under control and the suitcase light enough for one person to manage. So let's start with where to start. The first thing on my list is 2 weeks before you are going to go on any trip, if you want to have new outfits for the trip, or you need a new swimsuit, or you want a fresh pair of sunglasses, then it's time to go shopping. Whether in person or online, you need time to find something that works. And we all know you don't strike gold the first try or in the first store. You need a few days to get what you need. And you can't be packing at the same time that you're shopping. So you better get it done early. The second tip is no later than a week before, get the laundry done. All the clothes that you're currently wearing are in the laundry hamper right now. So if you want to take them on the trip, then you better schedule a laundry day the week before. You sure don't want to start the laundry the night before you leave. That's a recipe for disaster and absolutely no sleep before you leave for a trip. So you want to roll the laundry back a week before so you get it all done. For a trip longer than a weekend, so if you just go on Friday night and Saturday night and you're home on Sunday, it's not as hard. But for any trip that's longer than that, you'll need to plan several days worth of clothes, jewelries, toiletries, medications, and entertainment. That's a lot of work. That's a lot to work out in one feverish night before you leave town. And it'll ruin your sleep that night too. So plan to pack over several days. Get the toiletries together one night, the medications another night. Pick outfits out next, and then shoes and accessories. In theory, you can pack something every night for a week and calmly get done the night before. Then you'll be able to have a good night's sleep. To pack over many days, you're going to need a packing zone because you can't throw your suitcase out on your bed and do that starting a week ahead of time. So you want to have a packing place. Get your suitcase out and open it somewhere on the floor, or get out a pop-up table and stick it on a table for the temporary packing time. Add things to the suitcase as you get them worked out in your mind. If you find something in the house that you want to remember to take, go park it in the zone until you're ready to pack it. You can make your own packing checklist, or you can grab one off the internet. There are a million of them out there, and you can find one that most closely resembles your situation, so you don't have to modify it as much. It'll help you remember all the essentials, and you won't have to, in essence, recreate the wheel by making a packing list from scratch. And there's a bunch of people that have already done that for you. So take advantage, and then you can just tweak it a little bit for your own situation.
Connie has a great suggestion. She says, I take a printed packing list with me and note on it what was pointless and what I forgot.
Ooh, that is a great idea.
Yeah.
Because then you can like add to your list if you get in the middle of the trip and go, oh, I wish I had blah, blah, blah.
Well, and there's always that thing that you brought along that took up space that you never got around to using, you right. know, and by the end of the trip, it's annoyed you every single day. And then you go home and you put it away and you never think about it again. So updating right. that, updating your list, rolling it over, especially if you're using an electronic list, updating it at the end of the trip is a great idea.
It's a great idea. Well, it's fresh in your mind. And and that's how you learn to not overpack, right? If you make those notes about what you took that then never got used, then you can help yourself unlearn overpacking. And that's a great idea.
And Naomi said, most of my trips are just long weekends. I used to lie awake nights for a week worrying about my packing. Finally, I made an extremely detailed list of what to pack And now I can pack 2 hours before going out the door without losing any sleep at all.
There you go. And that's partially because it's a weekend trip. And so that makes it easier. But that's the point of having a plan, right? If you have anxiety about getting ready for a trip, then having a packing list, whether you generate it yourself or you get one that somebody else made, is how you remember to take everything that's pertinent and hopefully leave some things home that you don't need and decide that this list is good enough. And then if you modify it every time a little bit, that you take your notes like Connie suggested and freshen it up for your own experiences, then it'll make it a very stress-free way to travel. I've had clients who they would have me come over and help them pack because they found it so distressing to think their way through getting the suitcase ready to go. And I never quite understood why it was so distressing, but was happy to help people pack. But I do recognize that some people find that process of taking your own belongings in a suitcase and not being in your own house is stress inducing. It's very anxiety tripping. So having that list will help make it easier for you. Okay, let's talk about planning the actual contents that you'll pack. You want to plan your packing based on where you're going and for how long and what resources will be available. For example, will you stay long enough to need to do laundry? If you're going to go on a long trip, you might be able to do that. So will there be a laundry room, a laundry service, or a laundromat nearby? This means two things. First, there'll be laundry supplies there to buy, or you can chance packing some in very small containers. Second, you can pack less outfits if you'll have the chance to do laundry. So pack for part of your stay with a laundry break in the middle of the trip, and then you'll have much less to carry. And I'm thinking in terms of you go and stay in an Airbnb, there's always going to be a laundry facility there. If you go to a hotel, sometimes they have, takeout cleaning services. If you go, even if you're in a hotel, there might still be a laundromat close by and you can go out and get things washed. So while it may not be exactly how you would launder your things at home, you can probably do well enough on the trip to use a laundry break to limit how much you pack in the suitcase for a long trip. And won't that be a better way to travel so you don't have to carry so much? This is one for you, Ed. Will you have the means to cook once you get there, or will you eat meals out? So I wanted you to elaborate on how that affects your packing.
Yeah, especially with, so much Airbnb and VRBO, vacation rental by owner. That's what we're doing this time. If you're renting a beach house or a cabin or something like that,
you're staying in somebody's house or apartment.
Staying in somebody's place where you'll have some room to cook, they always have something for you to use, but sometimes it's the bare minimum and sometimes it's not great cooking implements. And so if your plans are to save money by dining in, by eating at home and cooking, it's not a bad idea if you're traveling by car to take a few of your favorite things, your best saucepan, your best knife. I'm not suggesting trying to take your whole kitchen, but
you've done that before and we learned that lesson the hard way.
I have done that. and if the circumstances are such that you're really focused on the cooking, like with my family at the beach in 2016, we did all of our eating at home pretty much. And so we did take the whole kitchen because we were driving and we could do it. We took several pots and pans and a couple of knives and a whole bunch of wooden spoons and our favorite everything. You want to at least take along the things you consider essential, your go-to pan and your best knife.
If you fly, you probably don't want to take your best knife in your luggage. We're talking about driving.
You can pack your best knife. You just can't carry on your best knife.
Because you'll lose it then, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I just not being the cook in the family, I appreciate this.
Also, I know, you know, my brother-in-law has one favorite seasoning mix that goes into practically everything.
Everything, right?
And so he'll take that along, you know.
Yeah, see, that's not a bad idea. It's just something to consider if you're going somewhere and you're going by car and you intend to gather with people and you guys want to make meals instead of go out, then you might want to consider packing a little bit of the stuff that will help you get by. Well, and resist overpacking the kitchen. You just want the, you know, bare essentials that would make it easier for you to work.
It's kind of more of a priority now than usual too, because with the pandemic, we're not going to do any restaurant meals this trip. We're going to plan to eat everything at home or have things delivered.
Well, and you know, your family is in a whole posse of good cooks. So, you know, it'll probably be better than a lot of the restaurant food you can get anyway.
It's true.
Okay. So the next question to ask yourself is, will you have a place to store and hang clothing or will you live out of your luggage? So if you're living out of the luggage, then you want to lean towards clothes that don't wrinkle up easily or need lots of care to be able to wear them. You don't want to have to be pulling things out of the luggage that you then have to iron or steam or press or whatever you do to make it more palatable to wear, make you more comfortable in it. You want stuff that can come straight out of the luggage and shake it out and put it on and you look fine. So you just plan your clothes based on whether you're going to be able to empty your suitcase or whether you're really going to be treating your luggage as your portable closet and living out of that luggage. The next question is, what kind of a vacation is it? Are you going to go for nights in the clubs? Are you going to have days on the beach? Are you going to an amusement park, Broadway shows, museum visits? Maybe you're going hiking or going to do some outdoor sports, etc. You want to consider which kind of vacation you are going to do so that you pack clothes, right, that go with it. So this leads to how many outfits will you need per day? If you're going to the beach during the day and you're going clubbing at night, that means two outfits that day. So you want to think about how many outfits you need each day and what kind. Ask yourself how secluded or remote is your destination and how much access will you have to places to resupply? Will they have what you like or something that you can live with? For example, if you're in Seattle, you can probably get whatever you want at some store nearby. If you're in the Australian outback, you might want to put more planning into packing your must-have supplies because you're not going to be able to run down to the store to resupply something that you've run out of. So just think your way through that process. It prevents overpacking. If you're going to Seattle and you run out of shampoo, the supply is around the corner at the nearest store. So you can go into any pharmacy anywhere and get something that you need. Or you can go to the hotel store and get something that you need. Don't add more against all the possibilities of disaster when you have easy access to be resupplied somewhere else. And if you're going on a camping trip, or you're going to the outback, or you're going into, you know, the hinterland somewhere where there's not a bunch of access to stores, then it's a different conversation. What are the things that you absolutely must take with you? Start with the must-have medications and toiletries, the electronics and travel documents. Then you can go through the rest of the packing, but nail down the things that you absolutely have in order to travel and to feel safe. And so having those documents, having the medications you're taking, having the electronics you want with you on the way, that is all the process that's the stuff that will make you feel less anxiety. That will relieve some of your stress. And then everything else is, what are my clothes? What about the pillow? And so even if you end up with clothes that you don't like, you can still get dressed. It'll be okay. The stress comes with the other stuff most often. And remember, it's not a disaster if you forgot something. You can most likely buy a substitute at a nearby store or do without it for a week or two. It won't ruin the fun if you forget your favorite earrings or your shampoo runs low. Yes, you might pay a premium for replacing something from the hotel store, but you could probably walk to the nearby Target too, so it'll be okay. I think that's part of the anxiety, is that people worry about running out of something without realizing that you can shop almost anywhere. So it'll be okay.
Before you go on to the next part, let me share a couple of comments. Great one from Janice on Facebook. Janice says, it's good to take the list with you to see whether you've taken all the things with you when coming back from the trip. So your packing list is a great reminder to make sure you don't leave anything behind, like your favorite knife or your best saucepan.
Right. That's
really
good advice.
Terrible. how to make your expensive vacation even more expensive. And she said, my friend's mom always did that when we were kids going on school trips. Super, super helpful.
Oh, that's for kids, especially. That's a great idea.
April said, we use gallon-sized Ziploc bags to pack folded clothing.
So lastly, for fun, here's some packing don'ts. The first one is, don't pack a million options for a trip. You're there to have fun, not spend hours getting dressed every day. Nothing weighs a suitcase down more than I pack two options for every day. Do you really want to roll around twice the weight you need to be on this trip? And I always ask the person, why? Why do you want to have a million options? Because it just makes the suitcase twice as heavy. The second don't is, don't pack the perfect pair of shoes for each outfit. Shoes take up a ton of room and feel like you're carrying bricks in the luggage. Instead, pick a few pairs of shoes that will cover your needs and then build your outfits around those shoes. Build outfits that work with those shoes instead of the other way around. Be sure to include the shoes you're traveling in as one of your options. So you can wear one of the shoes on the plane or in the car that you're going to use while you're there, and then pick a few others and then build. And we don't normally do it this way. We don't pick shoes and then get outfits to go with them in our regular life, but in a travel life, it's a better way to do it. Pick the three pairs of shoes you can use and then make all the outfits go with those shoes. So you don't have to put seven pairs of shoes in the luggage. So for the moms out there, this is another don't. Don't pack the entire medicine cabinet. Don't try to anticipate every medical need your child might have on the trip. Some aspirin and some Tums, some sunscreen and some aloe, and the rest is available at a drugstore or at the hotel, or if it's bad enough, at the hospital. You don't need a traveling pharmacy in a bag. I put that one in there because I had a client describe to me how she would travel with her family and everybody would pack their own luggage, but she felt like she was in charge of anticipating all possibilities of things that could go wrong and putting in her luggage everything that would help them if something went wrong. So she ended up with half of her medicine cabinet, all of her bathroom supplies and toiletries. And then things started coming out of the kitchen and she ended up with a luggage that weighed 400,000 pounds or an extra piece of luggage. That was just her rolling protection against any requests that the kids might make. And I thought, that is a lot. Now that would stress me out. That would be a really hard way to pack. And I think, you know, you don't have to do it. They can cope. And if you have a problem, you can solve it where you are. So don't pack the entire medicine cabinet. Don't pack your whole bathroom to help your kids. Also, don't pack every toy in the house. That's another one. Pick a few needed favorites. They're special toys. And then let the vacation entertain your kids instead of all the toys from home. You will leave some of them behind inevitably, and then they'll be mad at you because you left a toy behind. So don't take everything with you on vacation. Just take a little bit. This is a don't as well. If there's a lighter weight option, take that one. If you can take a small bottle or a travel size of something, then don't take the full size bottles from home. Lots of people do that because they want their special products that they use all the time. But it's so much easier in terms of weight and managing if you go to the trouble to buy a travel size one time, and then you can refill it from a regular bottle, or dole out in the little clear, squeezy bottle things, pour that stuff out into smaller bottles to take. Then you can sort of keep those little bottles full and they'll be ready to travel. And you don't have to take things out of your shower and pack them and then put them back every time. You just have a supply that stays in the toilet you create that it only gets used when you travel. And it saves a lot of weight. When you start putting full size body wash and shampoo and conditioner and face cleaner and it starts weighing a lot. Those liquids weigh down your luggage quickly. Remember that you're not moving there. You're just visiting for a minute. So you don't have to drag half the closet with you. If you find that your luggage is bursting once you've done packing, I think it's time to review the contents and see if you can put something back. Did you sneak an extra pair of shoes in there? What about a full shampoo bottle? Did you bring 12 books when 4 will do? Think of your back and subtract at the end. It's sort of like going to the store and grabbing everything that looks like fun into the cart and then stopping before you buy and putting some of it back. You can do the same process in your luggage. When you get to the end and you're having to throw your body weight on top of it to close it and zip it closed, you might want to go, perhaps I have too much in there, and pull a few things out and try the experiment and see what happens. Maybe you'll find that you didn't actually need it after all. Or maybe you will find that you were packing one day when you were tired and you didn't think it through very well. And so you can circle back and clean that up on the back end.
Okay, so I have to ask. So I have one big fat book. It's the last book that I need to finish reading for the Amazon 100. You know, I started years ago reading this, the Amazon 100. I've read 99 of those books. And the last book, it's this great big fat book with fairly small type. The type's so small, I can only read it in very bright light. And it's not available electronically because it's The Power Broker by Robert Caro, which came out in the 1970s. Won a Pulitzer Prize. It's 1,000,000 pages long. And I really want to finish it.
So how much do you have to go?
Hundreds of pages.
Oh, big chunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have I made my case? Does it deserve a space in the car?
Well, yeah, it can deserve a space in the car as long as you don't take anything else.
And well, I'm also going to take my iPad.
Can you have a version of it that you can read on the Kindle or the iPad?
No, it does not exist. There's not an ebook form of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I would say under those circumstances, because you're going in the car, you can, you know, take that brick with you.
Okay.
If that's really what you want to read though, then I wouldn't take anything else. And people that read books are terrible about this. They always overestimate how many books they can read. Yeah. They take the list of, somebody says they just published on Kindle, Ed.
That particular book?
Yes, I think that's what she's saying.
That will be a most amazing thing because I would love.
Thank you.
I would love to get rid of that monster.
That massive thing, right? That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, she's right. She is totally right. There is now a Kindle edition. Oh, that's a lifesaver because the small type is such a problem. That's the biggest argument in favor of a Kindle.
Right. Is it so hard to focus on it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's wonderful.
Okay.
You made my day. Thank you for helping Ed's trip get better. Now he doesn't have to lug the brick.
April just made my day. Oh my gosh. What a relief.
That's wonderful, right?
I can finally finish that thing. Okay. Yay. Maybe we should get to some other people's comments.
Right.
I wanted to circle back to Rowan, who said, this was back when we were talking about the tittle. And Rowan said, and I wanted to acknowledge, it's way back there. I unpacked bathroom things and put bottles on my new shelves, wire shelves 12 inches deep, so I can see how much I have in consumables, alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, vitamins, etc. It is wonderful because now I know what I have and won't worry about running out.
That's great. That is a good thing to unpack and get all corralled in one place. And I love that you put it on shelves that you can see into, and that's awesome. Good job. I'm sure that's a big improvement in the bathroom. That's great.
And then Judith said, based on the helpful suggestions from group members last week, I discovered a whole new world of professional resources for those diagnosed with OCD hoarding disorder, as well as their families. Oh. I will be attending a Zoom conference put on by the International OCD Foundation. I signed up on my own and then mentioned it to my diagnosed husband that I would be occupied on those days and asked if he would be interested in signing up. And he said, yes.
Isn't that fabulous?
Big step in the right direction.
That will be so helpful. There's nothing like, you know, taking the time to listen to people that are expert in that area talk about it, and I'm sure you'll get a million useful tips, and you'll be plugged into a community that really understands what you guys are struggling and facing in the moment. And that's really wonderful. Congratulations. Can't wait to hear how it goes. You come back and tell us how it went.
Catherine said she cleaned out two church refrigerators. She found cookies from January 2020 and juices in metal containers with expiration dates in 2003.
Oh, no.
Antique juice boxes.
That doesn't sound good at all.
And she said, goodbye to all the outdated bottles, including pickles.
Oh, very good. Yay. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that funny? Sometimes you just got to circle back, man.
Judith also shared, I unpacked a crate with emotionally complex things from my mother, who died at her care facility of COVID in January. I cried and hugged her shower bag that she would take to her bath time and her pretty shower cap that she wore to protect her dynamite red hair. I miss her so very much, but I know that her spirit understands my awareness that those things are not her. That is such a tough thing to deal with. We found something in storage that smells so much like mom. And so after we found it, it's a wall hanging, you know, a textile thing. And after we brought it out of storage and unwrapped it, we all had to pass it around and smell it, you know?
Oh, and amazing.
We are keeping it because it's a sort of family heirloom thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was very hard. It was very brave of you to do it. And I'm glad that you were able to say to yourself, this is not my mother. This is just my mother's stuff. And
Judith also said, I threw them away through tears and sent my deepest love to her memory. I know it was the right choice. Difficult, but right.
Difficult, but right. And congratulations for, I mean, it's pretty soon. If she just passed in January, it hasn't been very long. So I'm sure that it is a very raw moment for you. And that's, it was brave of you to pull that box out and try to process it. But you're also being kind to your future self because you're not leaving that chore for later on to do. And so you found the strength and made it happen for yourself. And you're not leaving a box for you to carry around and circle back to many moons from now. So congratulations on doing it. And I know that it was very hard. So we're very proud of you. Good job.
Barbara told on herself. She said, I didn't bother with a packing list for my recent 5 days away. Mistake, no toothpaste.
And there you go. Toothpaste is one of those good things. It's easy to recover. Anybody you're traveling with has toothpaste. Any hotel has toothpaste. Any Target has toothpaste. So
it's easy to recover, but at the same time, you get there and it's like, oh, there's already something I, you know, have to do that was not part of the plan for this vacation.
I can't brush my teeth tonight, right? Yeah. And there you go. It's like if you're checking against the list, then you don't forget the toothpaste. Thanks for telling on yourself.
And Anya said, maybe I'll pack my gourmet pan for my vacation in August. Good idea. And Nancy said, we go away several times a year for a month at a time. Since we make smoothies a couple of times a week at least, I pack a spare blender. It has come in very handy in some of our rental units. We also pack our favorite herbs and spices and kitchen tools since we don't want to eat out overly often.
There you go.
If you're driving, you really do save a ton of money in a rental cooking at home and not eating out.
Not eating out, right. But, you know, then you have a lot of boxes to lug up
when you get there. Yeah, but if you're staying for a week, that's it. And another thing we're doing is we're planning some meals in advance, and I'm going to mix up batches of scones, my legendary scones. I'm going to mix up a few because you can mix those in advance and do everything except add the buttermilk, which is the liquid that pulls it all together at the end. You can do everything else in advance and put it in Ziploc bags, or I'm probably going to put it in vacuum sealer bags and freeze them. And then, you know, take them in a cooler so that in the, you know, on the mornings of the trip, I just have to open one up, add the liquid, and throw them in the oven.
And then you're ready to go.
Yeah.
That's good. And, you know, when we did that for my birthday trip last year, my girlfriends that went along on the trip, they planned all the meals. And so they had conferences about it and talked back and forth to each other and decided what food was going to come at what place. And they managed to pre-cook some things, and it all worked out just fabulously. So yeah, if you're going to cook at your vacation spot, planning there will help your life be a lot less stressful for sure.
We have sort of a running joke in our family that we talk about the next meal at every meal. And so my brother-in-law is a total gumnick in that he's been talking about what we were going to eat on this beach trip since about February.
Well, and that's the nature of cooks, right? They definitely like to talk about food. So that's awesome. Well, and what you don't know is I've had some of Rich's food, and I'm glad that he thinks about it from February, because he is a serious cook, and it's awesome.
It's a good obsession.
Everything we eat is good.
It's a very good obsession.
Yeah, and he obsesses about desserts too. That's the best part. Then you get great desserts too. It's okay.
Connie says, I have a friend who takes very few clothes for 1 or 2 days and then shops at a charity shop at destination, and before she leaves, donates most of it back.
Isn't that interesting? Well, that would work. Then you wouldn't have to take as much. You have to go find the charity shop, but whatever.
Judith said, I well remember the days when I could bring along my best butcher knife on the airplane. I often travel with the essentials when traveling by car: copper pot, knife, favorite mixing bowls.
And for somebody that likes to cook, you know, those things can be the difference between being irritated while you cook or being happy. So
yeah,
if you got the space for it, then take it. Just be careful, you know, don't take your whole kitchen. You know, the more you take, the more likely you'll leave something behind. So you really want your cooking essentials to go.
Connie mentioned about meds. It's not applicable when traveling internationally, about not being able to get absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple points there. If you have prescriptions, you have to make sure you have to take along all your prescription meds, but it's not a bad idea to also bring your prescription, because sometimes you'll have to explain to customs or border checkpoints what it is and what it's for and why you're allowed to have it.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a good idea to make sure that, you know, you're not, I mean, it would be unusual to be taking a prescription medication that's banned in another country, but it's not a bad idea to double check those things before you travel internationally.
To be able to explain it, yeah.
Yeah. I want to remind those who are viewing or listening live that we have a YouTube channel with more than 170 videos on lots and lots of organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. And while you're there, we encourage you to subscribe and click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you want to get notifications when we post new content. We want to say a special thank you to Katie and Rebecca for becoming our newest Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation of any size, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon, Patreon. Your contributions help us offset the costs of producing the weekly webcast and will also help us fund new projects that we're working on. Thank you for your generosity, Katie, Rebecca, Carol, who sent the check, and all of our generous underwriters.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much.
We also need to announce at this point, we will be taking a break from our live webcast next week while I am frolicking in the waves on the Gulf of Mexico.
Which is a picture.
Isn't that an image? Mostly I'll be, you know, staying in the shade, because I determined long ago that is the best way to take care of my skin.
You're very Viking skin. That's what you are.
But I still like to be, you know, beach adjacent. We will be back on August 10th at the usual time to talk about critical areas of your home where clutter seems to be drawn like a magnet. We'll explain why problematic spaces collect so much clutter and suggest strategies for troubleshooting these special organizing issues. Join us on August 10th for Trapdoors and Rabbit Holes, Special Issues of Clutter-Prone Spaces. Okay, let's get to the tittle.
Okay, the tittle this week is titled Wonderful Time, Wish You Were Here. In keeping with our theme, we're assuming that you have some travel scheduled or at least plans for a long leisurely weekend at some point. So to help you get ready to board that plane, get on the road, or take a mental health break, here's your tittle for this week. It's time to refresh your toiletries bag or drop kit. Pull out all the contents, wash or wipe out the bag. Now refill the shampoo bottles with stuff that you like to use. If you've been packing full-size bottles, it's time to create the travel size of your favorites or go online and order a travel size bottle of it. Check out the OTC meds, over-the-counter medications, and prescriptions alike for expiration dates, because I know that you put meds in there that have been sitting in there for 5 years and you've long since forgotten that they're dead. Time to put fresh meds in and take out the things you can't identify and the things that you no longer take. Don't put a whole box of something in there. Grab a blister pack or a sheet or add some to a small container. You can get a daily pill container and fill it with a week's worth of doses, and then you can leave the large containers of meds behind. If you don't have or use a toiletry bag or a drop kit, then you can still prepare for a trip. Then your weekly tittle is to stage a packing area. So get out a small table or find a place where the luggage can lay out open, waiting for you to pack it, and put your luggage there. Seed the luggage with a few things that you already know that you want to take with you, like the gifts for your family or the magazine you want to read on the plane. It'll get the ball rolling earlier. If your time off will be a staycation instead of travel, then you can think through the supplies that you want on hand for your staycation. Make a list of the food and drink that you want, or a list of all the restaurants you're gonna have delivered. What games or movies or books would make the staycation fun? Put some thought into supplying yourself with the best staycation arsenal ever, and then go get those things. And that's your tittle for the week. Can't wait to hear how everybody packs.
I wanna share one more comment from Deborah. Deborah says, I walked the Camino de Santiago for 5 weeks with 5.5 kilograms in a 35 liter bag. Just wash undies every night and hand wash one change of clothes for the next day. What it reminded me of is I went to Japan in 1989 and I was going for, I forget, 8 or 9 days. And I had packed my big suitcase with what I needed for 8 or 9 days. And I had packed a carry-on and I had thrown one pair of, you know, spare underwear and socks and my toiletries in my little carry-on. And it's a good thing because I got off the plane in Tokyo, but my luggage went on to Thailand. And my luggage caught up with me on about day 5 or 6 of my 8-day trip.
Oh my goodness.
And at first I was very frustrated and annoyed and, you know, prepared to be miserable. And then fortunately I, you know, got a grip on myself and realized it's not about what I'm wearing or how I smell. It's about the experience. And so I washed things out I took off what I was wearing and washed it and in the sink and hung it up to dry and wore the other, you know, the other thing I had the next day. And it was just fine. And I've been a lighter traveler ever since, from what I learned from that experience.
Right. And it wasn't how you planned it or what your perfect vision of traveling and dressing while you were traveling, but you survived anyway. And the one part of the story that you left out, which I always thought was so hysterical, was you're in Japan. They didn't have clothing for size 6'4" people.
Right. Going out to buy.
You couldn't buy anything.
Going out to buy more outfits was not an option.
Because to them, you were an Amazon, right?
Yeah. I lost luggage on a trip to Rome as well. And for that trip, I could go out, but, and I found, you know, a few things to tide me over, but not a whole lot, because there aren't a lot of Italians who are my size either.
I mean, I guess, you know, eventually you can find a t-shirt anywhere, right? T-shirts are kind of ubiquitous, but
yeah,
I just thought that was hilarious. The whole image of, you know, you probably tower a foot and a half over everybody in Japan already.
Yes.
And the idea that they would have clothes for you was, it's just, it's like, of course not. That makes total sense that they would not be able to supply you.
Well,
but you coped anyway.
And in Europe, they're usually prepared for tourists who sometimes are considerably taller than Italians. So, you know, and I think the sort of our last takeaway tip is probably, you know, leave your high expectations at home.
Oh, good point.
How about that?
Yes, 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 yes. You're going to experience something new. You are not going to recreate your home environment with you. And so roll with it. If it doesn't work out exactly like how you would do it at home, that's the whole point of being somewhere else, so that you can experience it newly and differently. And so it's not forever. You're going to survive for a week or 2 weeks. There's going to be something that will work if it's not exactly what you would do at home. But that's the whole point of being on a trip, is that you experience it a different way and have a different life than you would normally. And that's the whole point. So keep that in mind, and, you know, check the historical process behind, leave your standard procedures behind, and assume that some of them are going to be different because you're traveling.
Okay.
Good advice.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook. Oh, and while we're holding up that one, I want to send out a cry for help. If someone can tell me how to cancel one event in a Facebook recurring event series, write to me at ed@clutterfairyhouston.com, because I cannot figure out how to do that. And so I haven't canceled next week's Facebook event because I don't want to cancel the entire series. You can also subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you. So please keep those questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. We're so glad you were here. And we hope that you are getting ready to embark on some fabulous summer trips, some relaxation and rejuvenation. And we can't wait to hear how packing went and how much fun you had. We'll look forward to hearing about it. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.